Coming up next, Nicole Fortune joins me to talk about a proposed amendment to the New Hampshire Constitution, CACR 22, also known as Marcy's Law. She's up next, right after this. Don't forget to listen to this and past programs on Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. And of course, right here at graniterock.com. Nicole Fortune is with us. You have quite the resume, I must say. United States Army Intelligence Interceptor, analyst for the New Hampshire National Guard, law clerk, legal assistant, area prosecutor, adjunct professor. Now you have your own law practice, so you're obviously very familiar with the New Hampshire Constitution and New Hampshire law. Our topic is CACR 22, a proposed victims' rights amendment to the New Hampshire Constitution, known as Marcy's Law. So Marcy's Law, CACR 22, is being sold as creating protections for victims of crime. Does New Hampshire not have such protections in place already?
New Hampshire has had victims' rights statutes for over 20 years now. And to the extent that people feel that or believe that those victims' rights statutes are not being complied with by the state, Marcy's Law is not going to improve that situation for them, because Marcy's Law specifically builds in protections for when the government infringes the promised rights they're giving people.
This is what I always wanted, a government that wants to infringe on my rights. So this is a proposed constitutional amendment. My understanding is that it changes the definition of what a victim is, and that this change is not a good thing.
Currently in our statute, a victim is, with some exception, the victim is the actual victim of the crime. Again, with some exceptions. However, under Marcy's Law, a victim is somebody who is directly or proximately harmed by the criminal offense or delinquent act. Now, when I say proximately, people are like, what are you talking about? Well, proximate is the closest and causal connection, and so I personally use a but-for test. So but for you hitting Sally, I would not have had to leave work to go pick her up at the hospital. So now, with that question in mind, do I become a victim?
Okay. So another problem that I've seen with this is that victims currently have a measure of privacy rights. I know New Hampshire state law has there's a list of like 21 different itemized things that try to address the issue of victims' rights, including privacy rights. Are those affected by Marcy's Law? How did those change?
Well, I think it is. Now, first, again, as you pointed out, we do have statutes on victims' rights that include the privacy of the victim. But with the expansion of the definition of victim, now we're talking about family members, maybe even close friends, and possibly even businesses or corporations that all can fall under this definition of victim. With regard to, for example, a rape case, the actual victim of that crime may not want certain information known, maybe the location, maybe she was in a bar when it happened or whatnot, but she would not want that information shared. But with her family and close friends or maybe other people who are somehow approximately harmed, being able to be victims and receive the same rights as that actual victim, they're going to be able to have that information, too, regardless of whether the actual victim wants it protected.
So if there was like a sexual assault in a bathroom at a Target or a Walmart, and maybe there were employees there who could have been affected by proximity, does this mean that Target and those employees have access to things like confidential medical records or anything like that?
Well, it's unclear, but it would appear so, because they have the right to be informed and be a part of the entire process and to be heard at multiple hearings. In order to do that, they would have to have certain information. So I believe that it diminishes a victim's privacy, because now more people than just the actual victim may have access to certain information that they may not otherwise want known.
What does the imposition of this constitutional amendment say about the perception of police, the court system, prosecutors, anything like that, as far as their competence to address the issue of victims' rights?
Again, I think the very idea that somebody's pushing Marcy's Law or trying to create a constitutional amendment assumes that for the past 20 years the system has been failing victims, and I think that's an erroneous assumption. I think that the state has established a victim advocate program where we have victim advocates who work with and inform and educate victims through the process of the crime. And where Marcy's Law says the victim has the right to confer with the attorney for the state, I find, again, that's another question created by Marcy's Law. Does this mean victim advocates are no longer going to be utilized?
Constitutions and the Bill of Rights in particular were drafted to outline natural rights that could not be infringed to protect citizens from capricious courts, abusive police powers, da-da-da-da-da. So state and federal statutes have been developed along the way to provide for the interest of victims of crimes without violating protections for the accused. What does Marcy's Law do if it's added to the Constitution with regard to protections for the accused?
Well, certainly, in some regards, it absolutely conflicts with the rights of the accused. And the problem that this creates is the state constitution cannot provide for less protections of rights than does the federal constitution. And when a victim's right conflicts with the accused's rights, presumptively the accused, who is facing the loss of other rights, including life, liberty, and freedom, will prevail and the victim's right will fail.
And this sets precedent, does it not, that the constitution can be used to hand out rights?
Well, I think it does. And you'll have to, you know, follow me for a second here. So our Constitution, you know, first it was the purpose of drafting the Constitution was to restrain the government from infringing upon our rights. However, Marcy's Law is drafted such that it provides constitutional protection to the government when it infringes on these rights. So the constitutional protection of Marcy's Law actually is going to the government, and that totally belies the principles on which this nation is founded. Additionally, as you were noting, our rights are inherent. They exist. The way Marcy's Law is drafted, the victim actually has to opt in or request to invoke the rights. And if they do not make no such invocation, they just don't exist.
If Marcy's Law passes, should we expect immediate court challenges?
I would think so. I know in other states that it has passed, even prior to implementation, it has been brought to the Supreme Courts in that state. Thus far, off the top of my head, I know that Montana has found Marcy's Law unconstitutional, and that was supposed to be implemented in, I believe, July 1st in Montana. And I recently learned that I believe the Ninth Circuit has also found Marcy's Law unconstitutional.
Being a political activist and a blogger, I have this natural inclination to distrust the motivations of anybody in politics. So I'm imagining that there are probably politicians who want to turn the state constitution into a tool for positive rights. They definitely want to do that. But what do we say to people who think that maybe they're supporting this because they don't think it'll actually pass a popular vote, but that by supporting it, maybe they can score some political points by claiming to be victims' advocates?
You know, and that may be a possibility. I would never presume to know the contents of any individual's mind. However, that having been said, when in reading Marcy's Law, where it does create protections for the government against the people, and when it does create an invocation of rights where you go to the government first to have them, I think that's the first step on a slippery slope.
If this doesn't really add any value. Let me try that again.
No, there's no value.
There's no value. It doesn't sound like this really adds any value to victims' rights, the victims' rights toolbox, individual rights. Why bother?
It's a promise without a remedy at the end of the day. I think what it does is they're using, you know, and this is unfortunate, but they're using victims as a tool to manipulate the criminal justice system.
I think that's right. And what else am I missing that I haven't asked you? Let's say today, what is your biggest issue with Marcy's Law if we haven't already talked about it?
I think that my biggest issue with Marcy's Law is it's convincing victims that they're obtaining rights, but they're not getting rights. What they're getting is privileges, promised privileges that may or may not come to fruition because, well, if these promised rights are not enforced, there's no remedy. So I think really what we should be doing in New Hampshire, if we are truly looking out for our victims, we should be going back to our victims' rights statute and creating a remedy, not just saying these are your rights and if they get violated, oops, but create a remedy for when they are violated.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope we talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Rock on.